Morning. We're good? A few less of us this morning. That's good. I feel like as I'm sitting there, I wanted to take a bit of a detour, but we'll get to where I was planning to go. But we might just go the long way around today, take a scenic route. Obviously, as you know, that me and Tim decided to step aside from our role as pastors of Sea Change. And I was reflecting, it's funny, I was talking to Chaz, was just saying, oh, we have our seats. I was wondering where I'm going to sit from now on. So you sit in the front row, I might have to make my way somewhere else. But there's change that's happening, but change happens in a minute, you know, but there's big transition for us as a family, as a church, which takes time. And if you've ever been through transition of any kind, you know, it's not something just happens in a moment. Sometimes it takes a while for your heart to catch up to your head, and you have all these questions, and most of us like security and stability and safety, and sometimes when we're in transition, those things are hard to grab a hold of. And I was reflecting on the fact that the vision that God gave me for this church was always much bigger than what I could bring to the table. I remember when I planted the church, and sort of we were a fair way into it, but I had the opportunity to go to the States, and I visited a place called the Dream Center. And the Dream Center is in Los Angeles, and it's basically a church bought a hospital. And I'm talking about, like, not a small hospital, it would be like a church taking over Sutherland Hospital. Like, that would be, that's our church. You drive in there, and I thought, oh, this would be pretty cool. And I'm just thinking, me in this situation, what would that be like? And they had food programs and housing and rehabs and church, and everything was in the one place. And I remember coming back for that, and something just really sat in my spirit, and I felt like this was kind of what God was going to build through us at Sea Change. And I've always been fascinated by this picture. And I remember a couple of other things. If you can put up the first slide there, Isaiah. No, the other slides that I sent you. Did you get them there?
Yep.
The one back, the lighthouse one. So I shared this vision with the church in 2023. And did you get it there? No, that's all right. Anyway, someone gave me a prophetic picture and drew a picture, and I had it on my desk for many years, and it stood there, and it was a picture of a lighthouse that was sort of, you know, the Matthew 5 thing, which we're sharing now. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that can't be hidden. People light a lamp, don't put it on a bowl, but they put it on a stand, gives light to everyone in the house. And so this idea that the light that we would shine would give light to everyone, not just us, but also the people in the community. And it was never about building a holy huddle. It was about whatever we do is actually going to spread out, and it's going to be a blessing to the whole community. And the other part of the picture was had these leaves on it, which are the healing leaves that come down from Revelation. And so this was the vision, to create, build, and be a centerpiece for our community that will see change. And this was kind of the picture that we had, is that we would build a place that people would come to, that, because I was starting, and as you know, over the past few years, is that we've got into a lot of community stuff. Kingsway Care came out of the heart of actually reaching our community, and I've always stood straddling both. Kingsway Care here, church here, and I stand in the middle, and it's like, what has God got for us? And I always felt that at some point God was going to bring this whole thing together. And it wasn't going to be over there, and over there it was going to be under one roof. And I've looked at places over the years, and I've looked at our church, I've looked at our finances, and I've thought, this is going to be a loaves and fishes story. This is going to be something that we didn't expect to happen. And then obviously COVID happened and a whole bunch of other things, and then I met and connected with Mark Soper. And then we had a conversation, and we were looking for a building, and then he said, come and move into Genali, into Miranda. And then we started to talk about the development that he was going to have here, and I'm like, wow, this is it. And he's talking about he wants a center of hope, a center of peace, a place where he would have Christian doctors and like professional services, but also have housing and have a church. And he said to me in these words, he said, Brooke, that church is not a Salvation Army church. That church is Sea Change. And I'm like, okay, cool. And so I was just in this journey. It's almost like God put these pieces together over the last 5 years. And it's happened. The great thing about, and I just wanted to share this with you to say, hey, the journey is not finishing. There is a journey ahead and we're really excited about it. The great thing about this journey is that we're not paying for it. Is that, like, someone is going to build us a facility which is going to be shared, and there's going to be people living there, and there's going to be housing, and there's going to be support services. There's going to be, Kingsway Care will be a part of it, and all that. And, we may have some offices which we try and share there, and other things that work with our housing community and food programs. And there's going to be a kitchen and a cafe and a place of worship. And I was just like, this is just crazy. And they're the best things, is that when you plan something and God gives you a vision at a heart, but he makes it happen. That's when the grace of God is on something, that we just walk in it. And so we're a part of that journey. And I just want to encourage us in this journey of transition, where there is a sense of unsettledness for all of us, is that let's run the race with perseverance marked out for us. Let's stay the course. Let's continue to see what God is doing that's bigger than us. Like over the next, it's gonna be a still unsettling over the next 3 years, because at the start of this next year, they're going to start moving dirt here, and then we're going to be working with the salvos and probably relocating for a period of time and then come back. So it's not going to be a 5-minute process. If anyone's done a small renovation on your house, it takes time. And transition's hard, because in the moment you're just like, hurry up, and it's frustrating. And all those emotions come up, and a sense of loss and a sense of all those things. But there's a sense that God, what he started, he will bring into completion. That this vision is way bigger than me and Tim. It's the vision of God's church here called Sea Change. And I'm excited, because I still, through my role at Kingsway Care, still to be a part of it. And I'm excited that God's going to bring in someone that is going to lead the church. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that. And through all that transition, if you're going through, if you're moving house, you start thinking, oh, is there a place for us? Where am I going to move to? Is anything available? There's all this kind of stuff that go, all this emotion that goes, if you lose your job, what's the next job? Where am I going? There's all that stuff that goes on. But I just want to say, God has a plan. He's not finished with us yet. And we've still got some work to do. But we've got to stay the course. And it's going to be super, like, if you like change, which, we do, because we're Sea Change, it's going to be a lot of change over. So I just encourage you to take the journey and be a part of it. And if you're struggling with the change, and it's like, oh, Brooke, I'm just frustrated, oh, this is not working, just talk to someone about it. Talk to us about it. It's okay to be in pain when you're going through transition. It's okay. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to have doubts. It's okay to have frustrations, but we just stay the course. And we just stick together and work together on what God's doing in the long term. So I just wanted to share that. I just want to encourage us and go, look, let's stay with what's happening. So that'd be good. Now we'll get to the sermon. Blessed are the meek. You go, that's great, thank you. For they will inherit the earth. When you think of the word meek, I suppose, does anyone, because you can preach this sermon for me if you want today, the word meek, what does the word meek mean to you? You've probably heard that word before, maybe you haven't. Let's have a bit of a kind of, I reckon, session. What's the word when you think meek? What does that word mean? Humble. Sorry, there was just like, what did you say? Humble, yeah. Yeah, so they're connected, definitely connected, humble and meekness, yes.
Strength under control.
Strength under control. That's good, you can preach today, that would be awesome. Yeah, strength under control, Yeah.
He's more than humble. It's almost, it means those that are considered unimportant, maybe the forgotten, the lost.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. I love this passage in the Message. It says, you're blessed when you're content with who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be brought. Blessed are the meek. Content. Blessed are the meek. Strength under control. That is the word. We live in a culture which is very much different to what meekness is. And what humility is as well. I was looking at this, we think performance and visibility equals worth. So if you perform well and it's visible, then you are worthwhile as a human being. You've got to work at it for your worth and value. And I was thinking about this. We teach this with our kids. Even as a young, we have these little reels that come up on our phones. And recently one came up of our three kids, you know, performing for us in a band. In our house. And you know what? They want to perform. They want to see us. They want to be visible because in some way they think they're sort of ingrained in them to think, oh, if mum and dad really like this, then that's worthwhile, then I'm important. And I mean, it's probably not that deep as a kid, but we grow up like this and it's sort of gone into, I suppose, when you think about social media. Sorry, my iPad just keeps closing. Maybe I'm not meant to speak this word today. We fight to be recognised and exhaust ourselves sometimes trying to prove we matter. And social media has turned this into a science. And in fact, even now, if you get more likes and you get more recognition, then you actually get money for it. You get rewarded. So you post things and you produce content and then you get paid for that material. The problem is if the likes don't come, you post something and no one says anything, we have a sense of value that diminishes in us. You think, oh, wasn't that on point? So I just want to, I suppose the great thing about meekness is that in Christ we already have everything we need. We don't need all that recognition. We don't need that visibility. And as it says there, you those who are meek will inherit the earth. What does that mean? Is that you have everything. You have an inheritance. You are an heir to Christ. And so you have received anything and you don't need anything else. If you go to the next slide, Tozer said this, the humble man is not a human guinea pig with a low opinion of himself. He has simply stopped being a spectator of his own self. Most of us live as spectators of our lives, constantly monitoring how we appear on the screen, like a runner who's running and then sees himself on the big screen and then trips over, you know. It's that sense of stop looking at ourselves because we're already recognised. The humble person has simply turned off that monitor and they've stopped poking and prodding for their own stats and have finally started just living the life that God gave us. There's another pastor in the early 1900s, and I was reading about this guy, and he said this, the meek man is not one who is easily intimidated or pushed around, but one who, having been mastered by God, is no longer a slave to his own passions or opinions of others. It's interesting because this guy was a pastor and a writer in the early 1900s, and his story goes that he was a really popular writer, wrote books and articles he would get to speak at conferences and all those kinds of things. But he had a really tough end to his ministry and almost became forgotten. He was a man who spent the end of his life in a small town on a rainy island in Scotland. He had no big crowds, no likes, no followers. Many would have called him a failure. But it was in that isolation that he discovered this secret. He wrote this. He said, the meek man is not the one who is easily intimidated or pushed around, but the one having been mastered by God is no longer the slave to his own passions or the opinions of others. He wasn't weak. He just no longer needed the world to tell him that he was important. Isn't that a beautiful place to get to? Where we know our value in God and that we know we're important and we don't need others to tell us that you are liked, that you are followed, but you're important. You are intrinsically important. You are intrinsically valued because you're created by him and for him. That's it. And the picture here of meekness, this is a beautiful picture, and this is what Steve was talking about. The Greek word is the word praus. And it's not the absence of power, but it's the mastery over it. And they use the Greeks use this word to describe a war horse, a stallion that has strength to crush someone, but a meek horse is one who's been trained to respond to the slightest tug on the rein. When you look at that stallion, you don't think that thing's weak. You think that thing has power. That thing has, but he's under the control and the power of the rider. And this is the picture that we get of meekness, is that we've surrendered. We have great authority and power and influence. We have great inheritance, but we're still under the tug of the Holy Spirit. We're still under the tug of the Holy Spirit. Someone said, nothing is as strong as gentleness. Nothing as gentle as real strength. And so what's the opposite of this? If you go to the next slide, if meekness is power under control, then probably pride is the opposite. Pride is the bolting horse. This is the picture. The power is there, but it's reactive and defensive. We're reading the Proverbs, the Message, first pride, then a crash, then bigger the ego, the harder the fall. I don't know about you, but I haven't been meek at time, and I've been, you know, a wild horse. And sometimes this comes just because we're impatient. I'm a serial overfunctioner. I've learnt this about myself. So instead of waiting for the tug, I will just go. And I will just make things happen. And it's something that I've been really challenged about because, I don't know, I'm probably just a bloke thing. It's like sometimes it's just like, we've got to fix something. I've got to fix everything and I've got to make it happen. I can't wait. But that's not meekness. That's pride. That's believing that I can be the one who can actually fix it. But meekness is just waiting for the tug, knowing that I have power to influence, but waiting for the tug of the rider, of the horse, of the Holy Spirit to lead me into the places I need to go. It's such a beautiful picture. Now, a perfect example, if you go to the next slide, is obviously Christ. We read this. And you, when you think about, I want you to think about this. When you think about power under control, meekness, not running off, knowing that you have great influence of power, and you read this scripture through that lens, it's really quite powerful. You must have the same attitude of Christ that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. That's meekness. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name. You see this movement in this passage in Matthew. Blessed are the meek, power under control, and you will inherit the earth. So what is meekness? Brings elevation, brings promotion in God, and that you will receive everything that God has for you, not because you made it happen, but because He made it happen. Because you received. You're not competing, you're not striving, but you're resting in a promise. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to be grasped or something to cling to. It's such a beautiful picture of meekness. The message says, think of yourselves in the way Christ thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of that status. I'll say that again. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of Himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of Himself that He had to cling to the advantages of His status. No matter what, not at all. And when the time came, He set aside His privilege of deity and took on the status of a servant. Jesus had the ability. He had the gears and the ladders to produce and to be a powerful person, but He chose to wash the feet rather than actually exercise that sometimes. That is meekness. And so we're an heir. We're the people that inherit the earth. And why? Because we're not fighting for scraps. If you try and actually try your own, you're just fighting for the scraps, fighting for the leftovers, but we are heirs of God. In Ephesians 1:3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. It's our united, that because we are united. The message says, how blessed is this God? He is the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, and He takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. He takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. We have everything, so we don't need to strive and we don't need to beg, and we don't, but He's going to lead us. I think that's why I shared our story, our journey of our vision at the start, because that's meekness, is that just waiting for the tug, waiting for God to come and produce and give us what we've inherited and what's ours in Him. We have salvation, we have His presence, the Holy Spirit, we have forgiveness, we have His grace, we have His mercy, but we also have His plan that He has laid out for us. I was driving along, and just ignore that I took this photo in the car the other day. So, you know, sometimes it's in your face. This is an electrician, full of power. He's driving along the road. He's got his car full of everything you need to make things happen, to fix everything. And got his ladders and his toolkit and everything like that. And I see this. I see, I can't, but I know a guy. It's just recognizing where you are in your relationship with Christ. Like, you have talent, you have gifts, you have power, you have ability, you have strength, you have all those things, but apart, you know, the connectedness to the vine is what actually makes us powerful. Apart from Him, you can do nothing, it says in John. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. So there's a sense that, okay, I've got some stuff and I've learned some stuff, but the thing is, I need to stay connected to the vine. I know a guy. I can't, but I know a guy. I mean, isn't that a great thought in everything? Like, because there's a sense of meekness in that, the sense is, I can do anything. It's amazing what I can do, what I can accomplish, what, but not just in life, but just in my emotions, in my development, in my formation. Like, I can overcome, I can get breakthrough, I can change all this. Why? Because I know a guy. Not because I can make it happen, because I know a guy. And he invites us into that place, because that is the meekness, knowing what you have, but knowing you sit. Remember, you're the horse, you're not the rider. And that you sit there because your power under control, and he will tug you and he will lead you and he will guide you. Because he sits there and he's with you. It's such a great picture. We know Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, and I love this passage. He says, My grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may work through me. It's such a beautiful. So power under control. Think about, so where have we gone today? Think about the fact that stop striving for likes and followers and people, because you're already approved. You don't need all that stuff. Remember that you are under the reign. If you go to the next slide, you are under the reign. That's power of control, power under control. And that we are an inheritance. We inherit the earth, everything that God has for us. So we don't have to beg and steal and strive for those things, because we already have them in him. Because we know a guy. I can't sometimes, but I know a guy. I can't work it out, but I know a guy. I'm broke, but I know a guy. I'm emotionally done, but I know a guy. I'm struggling. I feel spiritually dry, but I know a guy. That's the gift of meekness. That's the power under control. That he sits on the throne, on us. And we just got to wait for that tug, wait for that. It's like, okay, let's go. Let's do this. Yeah. And I love that picture of the horse, because I think no one would ever look at the horse and go, that is a weak animal. But we would look at ourselves and we would say that about ourselves. So to me, that's not the position. That's not the way God sees us. Let's sit for a moment. Let's just close our eyes. Lord, what is it that you are saying to us through this? And is there anything else? Thank you, Jesus.